From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, March 7th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
The nation's leading military hospital released a forensic report today on the gunman who carried out the October 2023 mass shooting in Lewiston. But the heavily redacted report doesn't address whether Robert Card's military service may have contributed to his mental deterioration. Kevin Miller has more.
The report from a forensic lab at Walter Reed Medical Center contains new details about the 19 days that Robert Card spent at a New York psychiatric facility. For instance, staff at Four Winds Hospital wrote that less than a week before his release, Card was still paranoid and lacks insight into his illness. But the Defense Health Agency redacted the entire section of the report that dealt with whether Card's service in the Army Reserve may have caused or contributed to his psychosis. Card helped train West Point cadets in how to toss live hand grenades. Travis Brennan, an attorney representing family of the 18 shooting victims as well as survivors, says he wasn't surprised by the redactions, but he says the report highlights many missed opportunities before the shooting.
Mr. Card had serious mental health issues that were new in 2023. He had serious and concerning warning signs that everyone saw, and there were multiple missed opportunities on the part of the U.S. Army to intervene and prevent this tragedy from occurring.
Brennan also says he believes much of the redacted information will eventually come out when the case against the Army reaches the courts. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
And a bid to create a red flag law to seize guns from dangerous people has qualified for the November ballot. Maine election officials said Friday they validated more than 74,000 signatures to put the proposal on the ballot. Steve Missler has more.
If approved by voters, the law would allow family members or law enforcement to directly petition a judge to have someone's guns removed. More than 21 other states have red flag laws, and most allow family members to petition a judge. The proposal was introduced by the Maine Gun Safety Coalition, and it's expected to meet fierce resistance from the National Rifle Association and other local gun rights groups. Democratic Governor Janet Mills has also voiced opposition to the initiative, saying it would undermine a compromise yellow flag law that she crafted alongside the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine in 2019. Use of the current law has exploded since the Lewiston mass shooting in 2023, but it was not used to disarm the gunman, who killed 18 people and wounded dozens of others. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A Maine Superior Court judge has ruled that the state is failing to meet its obligation to provide legal counsel to defendants who cannot afford their own attorney. And as Carol Bousquet reports, the judge ordered the state to create a plan to address the backlog of cases.
The lawsuit against the state was first brought by the ACLU of Maine 3 years ago, and since then the backlog of people waiting for an attorney has grown, with some waiting for months and years to be tried in court. The judge ordered the Maine Office of Public Defender Services to come up with a plan to remedy the backlog, or the state will begin releasing those held in jail without an attorney for more than 2 weeks. Carol Garvin is the legal director of the ACLU of Maine.
The first line remedy is the state should provide counsel, and only if that can't be provided is the court going to take the next steps.
About 24 public defenders have been hired to work in several offices around the state, but Superior Court Justice Michaela Murphy said the effort has, quote, fallen short. The Maine Commission of Public Defender Services had asked the state for an additional $12 million to help address the problem, but said it wasn't included in Governor Mills' proposed budget. A request for comment from Jim Billings, the commission's executive director, was not returned by airtime. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Students at the University of Maine held a pro-Palestine protest today despite threats from President Donald Trump this week targeting universities that allow, quote, illegal protests. As Maddie Smith reports, activists on the campus in Orono say they expanded the scope of their rally to speak out against the threats.
The people united will never be defeated! The crowd, which included student and community activists, carried signs and Palestinian flags outside UMaine's Fogler Library and called on the UMaine Board of Trustees to divest financially from Israel.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
The demonstration comes just days after President Trump posted on Truth Social that all funding will stop for any college, school, or university that allows, quote, illegal protests, and that, quote, agitators will be imprisoned or permanently sent back to the country from which they came. American students, he added, will be permanently expelled or, depending on the crime, arrested. He also emphasized that protesters shouldn't wear masks that conceal their identity at public events. Talia Kolem, president of the UMaine chapter of Jewish Voices for Peace, says the UMaine protest was planned months ago, and there was no discussion of canceling it.
We believe we need to set an example that vague threats will not force us into compliance, and we hope by setting this example, university administrators will follow our lead.
Kolem says there were preparations to ensure all those attending the protest were safe. Student marshals were brought in to de-escalate any potential situations with counter-protesters. She says international students were encouraged to use extreme caution and to wear a mask and other protective equipment. Community organizer Gracie Gable says she believes Trump's threats actually drew more attention to the event.
This is the largest group we've had, I would say, and it is awesome to see this much support. But this is also the first time we've ever had counter-protesters.
Gable says a half dozen people stood nearby with Israeli flags, but didn't directly engage the pro-Palestine protesters. University of Maine System spokesperson Samantha Warren says the free speech of students will be protected.
The University of Maine System believes in free speech. We will continue to be unequivocal in protecting and promoting that constitutional right, which I would note also includes the right to free expression and free assembly.
Olivia Keeney is one of the Bowdoin College students temporarily suspended after a pro-Palestine encampment on the Brunswick campus last month. She says the president's threats are an attempt to undermine free speech.
He expects universities to not only follow, but to lead in creating this sort of vision of America that Trump wants by making their communities a place where free speech, including protests for Palestine, will not be tolerated.
Carol Garvin, legal director at the ACLU of Maine, says protest is a constitutionally protected form of speech, and efforts to suppress it reflect a broader agenda aimed at stifling dissent. The Trump administration announced today that it has canceled $400 million in federal grants and contracts to Columbia University in New York, the site of a high-profile pro-Palestine encampment last spring, citing what it describes as the school's failure to protect Jewish students from harassment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The Social Security Administration has restored a long-established program that allows Maine parents to apply for their children's Social Security numbers in the hospital at birth. As Patty White reports, the program was abruptly suspended in Maine on Wednesday, only to be reinstated today.
The state notified providers Wednesday that the Enumeration at Birth program, which has been in place across the country since the 1980s, was suspended. Dr. Joe Anderson of the Maine chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics says the change would have forced parents to apply in person at one of the state's 8 Social Security offices.
It just seems like a really unnecessary burden to place on families, especially families who might have transportation issues.
Anderson says, though it was only a couple of days, the temporary suspension was disruptive, and it's unclear whether parents who gave birth during that time must still travel to an office to apply for a Social Security number. In a statement, SSA Acting Commissioner Lee Dudek apologized for creating, quote, an undue burden on the people of Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Former Maine Senate President Troy Jackson today announced that he's considering a run for governor next year. Jackson is a former logger from Aroostook County who served 6 years heading the legislature's upper chamber. Steve Missler has more.
Jackson has long been considered a likely gubernatorial candidate in 2026, so his announcement that he's beginning an exploratory committee is no surprise. The Democrat is fiercely pro-union and an ally of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. But his pursuit of a populist agenda in the legislature sometimes clashed with the policies of Governor Janet Mills. Jackson has previously made a bid for higher office, entering the Democratic primary for the 2nd Congressional District seat in 2014. He lost that contest to former legislator Emily Kane. In a statement, Jackson said he's still mulling his run to replace the term-limited Mills next year, but he said it's clear Democrats don't understand the frustration among working-class Mainers who are frustrated by policies crafted by moneyed interests and corporations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A state legislative committee has voted to reject a proposed 3-month cap on general assistance housing support in the biennial budget, but its fate remains uncertain as the state faces a tight budget picture. Republican State Representative Michael Lemelin supports limiting GA, saying it's supposed to offer short-term support.
GA is not to pay a person's rent for 12 months. I mean, that's excessive. Some people may need it, but there's other resources, I think, that they can move to.
Governor Janet Mills proposed the cap, which includes some exceptions, after GA costs ballooned during the pandemic. State officials told lawmakers the program will need an additional $20 million over 2 years if the cap is not included in the budget. Appropriating that money could be an uphill battle as the state tries to fill a projected $450 million budget gap. Maine is at below normal risk for spring flooding this year, but as Molly Enking reports, state officials are still urging the public to be prepared.
The Maine Emergency Management Agency says that after several years in a row of harsh winter and spring storms, there's a below average flood risk this year. That's due to lingering drought conditions, low groundwater stores, and less than average amounts of snowfall this winter. But MEMA officials say that just because there's low risk doesn't mean there's no risk, that it only takes one flash flood or heavy rainfall for conditions to potentially change. They say Mainers should still review their flood insurance policies, check weather regularly, and have an evacuation plan in place. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition with Carol Bousquet. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.